God, I just thank you for the privilege of serving you, Lord, of being your vessel, God, that we understand, Lord, the treasure is not in human beings, but the treasure is of you, Lord. And you have placed this treasure in each one of us in Christ, and that we have something to offer, we have something to give, we have something we can share. If every one of us would do our part, then, Lord, the work would get done. And your body would be edified, built up, made beautiful and presentable. For, Lord, you're waiting for that to take place, even as you're working, Lord, in us and through us. And you will work, Lord, through vessels that are yielded and available and willing, God, to say yes to your voice. And here we are, Lord. So, as the prophet Isaiah said, when you asked him, who will go? Who will go for me? What did he say? Here am I, Lord. Send me. How many here want to serve the Lord? Amen. Amen. If you've got Jesus in you, you've got Christ in you, then you want to serve the Lord. Because the Bible says he works in you both to will and to do. So you must be born again. Amen. Some people are in the process of learning what that means. Of they're in the process of being seeded by the word and watered. But it's the Lord that brings the increase. And I think back in my life how there was many times when people had planted seed along the way. And yet it hadn't yet sprouted. You know, someone else would come along and water. You know, and then one day in my bedroom, believe it or not, wasn't even in a church service. That's when I had my encounter with Jesus that forever changed me. And I was born of the Spirit. Christ came to dwell within me. And I became a new creation. Amen. I didn't become a patch up of the old nasty thing. God said, that's no good. You got to discard the old thing. You got to live from the new thing, the new creation, the new you and me. Hallelujah. You and me together, doing life together, walking with Jesus, yoked together with him. Hallelujah. So there are some certain characteristics that define who a true child of God is. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to test the spirits. We need to be discerning. We need to know who is of God and who is not. And so the Word of God is our reference. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. So the Word and the Spirit working together help us to understand what is true. And what is true is what is authentic. Amen. We don't want to be duped by the counterfeit. We want to know what is true, what is real, what is authentic. And so it's the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of authenticity that reveals Christ to us. Amen. So we can know what is true. And when you know what is true, you are freed from the lie. Hallelujah. How many know that we've all been imprisoned, amen, because of lies spoken in our lives? The devil is a liar and he said things to us and he's assigned identities to us that God never assigned to us. And if we're not careful, we can accept a false identity even. Amen. And the good news is that when you're truly born again, you know, you don't have to fake it. So I heard somebody say, oh, you fake it until you make it. Not. You know, you don't fake this thing, man. Either you're in Christ or you're not. Either you're born again or you're not. If you're saved, amen, you are a new creation. Things change. Your desires, amen, change. Your motivations are changing, amen, as God is working in you, both the will and do of his good pleasure. Matthew 7:17, Jesus said, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So there's the proof, amen. If you tell me you're Christian, well, let me watch your life for a while, okay? And then let me make a determination whether I accept that as true or false. Because, you know, anybody can claim to be this or that, but your life will demonstrate who you really are. A tree is known by its fruit. Hallelujah. And if you've planted an apple tree, well, you should expect what? Apples. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the fire. In other words, in Adam, in the old nature, it's unredeemable. You can't patch it up. You can't make it look pretty. You can't dress it up. Amen. The old nature has to be crucified with Christ. It has to be put to death. Amen. You can't coddle that thing. You can't compromise with that old thing. You need to walk in Christ. Amen. In the new identity. So you must be in Christ in order to walk in that new identity. And therefore, by their fruits, Jesus said, you'll know them. So isn't it true that we're known by the fruit of our lives? You can tell what a person values by what they do and what they spend their time and their money on. So it reveals, right? What's in their heart, really. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Amen. So if our heart is really for the will and the purpose of God, our lives will demonstrate that. If Christ is in you, amen, there's going to be a manifestation of Christ in your life. And this is the thing, is I think that people today are being offered the solution before they know they have a problem. Right. They're being offered this thing called salvation that's not true salvation. Because you don't come to know Jesus, amen, as Savior and Lord until you know that you're a lost sinner, condemned to death, that you're in a debtor's prison with no hope of escape and no way possible for you to ever pay for all the wrong things you've done in your life. You've got to come to the place where you realize it's not my goodness at all that God accepts. God accepts the goodness of Christ. Amen. He is my goodness. He makes me good. He makes me righteous. And only in Him am I made right. Hallelujah. And so as long as I trust in self, I fall miserably because I do not have the ability within myself to live the life that God expects. So I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And not lean on my own wisdom, my own understanding. You know, the other day I heard somebody say, well, you know, if I marry this guy, he may not be a Christian, but I'll marry him and then hopefully I can lead him to the Lord. You know, well, that contradicts what the Word says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, not to be unequally yoked with what? Unbelievers. And so sometimes people don't fully understand the Word of God, or they take it out of context and they say, well, you know, doesn't it say that, you know, by your good behavior, you might be able to win, you know, your mate? Well, he's talking about marriage. He's talking about those who are already married, amen, before they came to the Lord. Amen. They were married already in marriage covenant and they came to the Lord. And he's saying in a case like that, live that life, be an example, pray for one another in hopes that your mate might get saved. But he's not saying that you enter into an unequally yoked situation with somebody that's not a believer, amen, in hopes that you'll win them to Jesus, because rarely does that happen. You know, we can learn about God and yet not really know God. You know, I'm learning about God so that I may know God. And that's what we're doing, right? We learn about God so that we know who God is. And He manifests or reveals Himself. We'll know this is the true Jesus. It's important that we have good doctrine, good teaching. Amen? Now, Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:7. He said, some are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 5:39? He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. You see, some people are ever learning. Some people are quite biblically literate, and yet they can be void of salvation, void of Christ. And how many know that is a dangerous situation? To have the knowledge of God but not have God. Or just to learn about God but never come to know God. Because eternal life is Christ in you. Amen. And you in relationship with Jesus Christ. This is life. Why? Because He is our life. So if you have the Son, you have life. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Okay. So some people want what God has, but they don't really want God. I've been there. Come on, don't look so sanctified, right? God, help me. God, get me out of this mess. If you get me out of this mess, I'll serve you. We try to make a bargain with God, right? You know, another thing that the Lord has revealed to me is that sometimes people try to bribe God. They try to bribe God. God's telling you to repent of something, but instead of repenting of that, you'll just go and do some good deed. And say, God, don't you see the good thing I'm doing over here for you? It kind of sounds like Saul, doesn't it? Well, we save the best, Lord, to offer sacrifices to you rather than obeying your word. We just kind of met halfway then in obedience, okay? Yeah. Did God accept that? No. He says to obey is better than sacrifice. So God wants a heart, amen, that is for Him, not just doing things for God, but a person that walks with God. A person that knows the Lord, that enjoys His company, enjoys His fellowship, that does life with Jesus. Are you hearing me, somebody? Not a religious person that is just studying so that they can win the Bible debate or look smart in the Bible study. Amen. And argue doctrine. Amen. No, it's because we want to know Him. Because somewhere it says that knowledge puffeth up, but love builds or edifies. And it's the love, the agape love of God in us. So a true child of God was going to bear the fruit of God. Would you say amen to that? Amen. When we're born again, there's going to be evidence. And if a person claims to be born again and yet they continually bear bad fruit, I highly doubt that they're actually in Christ. There's a lot of people walking the streets, you know, today that are talking about, you know, Jesus or claiming to be a follower of Jesus. But all you got to do is actually watch their life to make that determination. I'm not talking about somebody that stumbles and makes a mistake. I don't know about you, but I've done that at least once. But I'm talking about a person who habitually lives a sinful life and yet claims to be a follower of Jesus or in Christ. They're still in Adam. And John tells us that seed of God is in you, and you cannot sin. You cannot live comfortably any longer in sin if you're in Christ. Right. And this is the thing, again, if people are being offered the solution before they know they have the problem. People are not brought to a place where they understand that they're actually lost and separated from God and that they're in need of His mercy, kind of like the woman, amen, at the feet of Jesus. They took this woman caught in adultery. They were going to raise stones and kill her. Amen. And Jesus intervened, didn't He? And you know, as He stooped down to write in the dirt, we assume He was writing out their sins in the dirt. So all of them realized that He's reading my mail. And guess what? He knows who I really am, not how I pretend to be. And this woman, she knew she was lost. She knew she was in trouble. She knew her life was on the line. And the only hope she had is that somebody would show her some mercy. And praise God, Jesus was the one that stood in the gap for her. It wasn't because Jesus said, it's okay of what you did. He's saying, I'm going to let you off the hook. I'm going to show you some mercy and some grace here. And you know she didn't immediately go out afterwards and do what? Sin. Go and sin no more. When you receive the grace of God, it changes you. When you have been touched by the mercy of God, it changes you. If you have not been touched by the mercy and grace of God, then you won't change. It doesn't matter how much you go to church, how much you study and read and memorize. Amen. Some people pride themselves on how much scripture they memorize. Well, praise God. Do you know the one you're reading about? That's the real question. See, I don't want to just learn about God. I want to learn to know Him. I want to know His voice. Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. And they follow me. I give unto them, what? Eternal life. He says, I know my sheep. I know them. They follow me. How many here are following Jesus? You know, 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourselves here as to whether you are in the faith. See, there's some people that were questioning the authority of the Apostle Paul. And Paul had been investing himself in the church. He said, examine yourself. Is Christ in you? Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. The King James calls reprobate. Now, Barnes says this about reprobates. The word means properly not approved. So he says you need to take an examination. Take a close look, a reality check as to where you really are, where you really stand, how it really is between you and the Lord. Is Christ indeed in you? Or are you actually still outside or disqualified? It means rejected. A reprobate is one who's been rejected, or that which will not stand the trial as to what a metal goes through for purification. Metals have to be purified, don't they, in order to be strong. And so he's saying, are you in Christ? Do you know that Christ is in you? Be careful, amen, to know that, because I don't want to guess about my salvation. I don't want to guess that things are okay between me and God. And I don't certainly want to trust on the grace that I give myself. Oh, you did pretty good today, Keith. How about God's pretty good today? My trust in God's goodness today. I trust in His grace today. I put no confidence in my flesh, but my full confidence in Christ and Christ alone. You see, this is what distinguishes true Christianity from every cult and every religion. Everything else is based upon your own personal merits. In Christianity, it's based upon the merits of Christ and His sacrifice on our behalf, His blood at the cross. Amen. And the merits of that blood that can be applied to my life, that can bring forgiveness, cleansing from sin. Amen. And a breaking of the power of sin in my life, and a renewing of the Holy Ghost, where the Spirit of the Lord comes to dwell within me. I become regenerated. I become born again. I become alive in Christ. And if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. If there's no stirring in your heart, no desire to give thanks, to give praise to God, question whether or not you're in the faith. How can Christ be in you and you not have the desires of Christ? See, a true child of God believes that Jesus is the Christ. Not a Christ, but Jesus is the only way to the Father. What Jesus does this person preach? Is there Jesus just one of many ways to God, as some would say? Well, Jesus is your way. Yeah, well, Buddha's my way, or Allah's my way, or, you know. Oh, you just choose your way, huh? I don't know about you, but Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way. He didn't say I am a way. He says I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. It's not this coexist thing that you see bumper stickers today, right? Coexist. Oh, we're all going to get together with Wicca and all the rest of them. We're all going to be one big happy family. You know what the problem is there? They have to eliminate the cross of Jesus Christ. They have to eliminate the sin factor and place, amen, the full burden upon your ability to live a certain way that would merit some kind of credit in hopes that maybe you'll be accepted by whatever force or God there may be out there in the cosmos. It's the broad way that Jesus spoke of that leads to death. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is the way of death. Amen. We know that Jesus is that only hope, that only way, and we must be followers of Him and trust in Him only. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator. Amen. You can't pray to saints. You can't pray to Mary. You can't pray to Buddha. You can't pray to any other. You must pray to Jesus Christ. Come to the Father through Him. Amen. He's the only one between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You know why it says the man, Christ Jesus? Because He's the God-man in heaven. God is a spirit. Our Father is a spirit. But there is a God-man with a glorified body at the right hand. Hallelujah. When He rose again, He rose what? Bodily. Amen. God was manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. Jesus came. The Word became flesh. You know, in 1 John 5:1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. So what's He talking about? If you say you love the Father, then you love the Son too. Amen? If you say you love the Son, then you love the Father too. Also loves Him who is begotten of Him, the Son. So they will love the Son as well. You see, there are people that say they believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. They believe God is their Savior, but they don't accept Jesus as their Savior. They're deceived. There's no other way except through Him. The only way, the intermediator between God and man. He is the bridge. Don't be deceived. And the world is filling people full of lies that you just choose your own path. But God has made a way for us. Amen. A true God, a true child of God lives righteously. Amen? By their fruits. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus for good works. It's not working to get right with God, but when you're right standing with God, you will produce good fruit and good works. Come on, somebody. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, some people, I've heard them say, well, it's not a works lest anyone should boast. So their life is void of any works and any fruit. I don't think they really know what they're talking about. Because when you're in Christ, when Christ came to dwell within me, listen, I was one of those people that heard a lot of gospel. But I didn't know the God of the gospel. And it wasn't until Jesus Christ came to dwell within me that all of a sudden my heart started to burn for Him. I became alive in Him. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to live to please God. I wanted to love God back out of appreciation for everything that He did in my life, how He set me free, how He let me out of that debtor's prison. Because I was in a prison and there was no possible way for me to ever get out. I couldn't save myself. It didn't matter what I did, how good I tried to be from that point on. I knew that I was in a prison and I needed to be set free. And only Jesus Christ can set you free. You must be in Christ. For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So a tree is known by its fruit. A true child of God keeps His commandments. That means we're hearers and doers of the Word. 1 John 2:3, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. How? Look at verse 6. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. If you're in Christ, amen, you will bear the fruit of Christ. Your life will demonstrate that you belong to Him. You are in a new identity, amen. You can no longer live out of the old, out of Adam. See, some people and many people are trying by their own works to merit credit with God. And so they're trying just to improve upon Adam. But Adam has to be scrapped. The old man has to be scrapped. You must live from Christ, from the new creation, to bear fruit unto God. Because it's not the fruit of me that God wants. It's the fruit of the Spirit that God accepts. It's the Holy Spirit in me bearing the fruit of God that is pleasing to the Father. Are you hearing me, somebody? You and I are simply vessels for God. It's not my goodness. It's His goodness. So I want to bear the fruit of God. And how do I do that? By abiding in God. By continuing in God. Continuing in His Word. Amen. Continuing in fellowship with Jesus. If you're walking together with somebody, after a while you begin to bear the attributes of that person. Now you know what I'm talking about. You ever been with a friend for a long time and you guys start to know each other pretty well? How about husband and wife? You get to know each other pretty well. Amen. Because you're in fellowship, in your relationship. And you've heard it said before, but you know, sometimes people will even say, you know, you guys are even starting to look a lot alike. I'm glad I married Jesus. She makes me look good, you know. I think God's preserved her from looking like me, so. But, you know, God gave me a beautiful woman, a beautiful wife. She's been great to me, you know. She keeps me in line. I need somebody like that, you know. Hallelujah. And you know, we can keep each other in line too, you know, at times. We're here to help each other, right? We don't have to browbeat each other and beat each other over the head with scripture. Men, we just need to be an example to one another. Hallelujah. Live the life. Thank you, Jesus. If you got to tell somebody you're, you know, you're a leader, for example, you're probably not. I'm in charge here. Well, if you got to tell me you're in charge, you're probably not. You see, if you know who you are, your life will demonstrate that. There will be the reflection of that in your life. You don't have to tell anybody you're this or that. You just are. A cop doesn't have to go out on the street and says, "Do you see this?" People recognize the uniform, and if he knows who he is and he knows what that represents, then he will be the authority. Are you hearing me on the street? So likewise, you and I, we have to understand our identity in Christ and live from that identity. But we need to be understanding that those who do what is right are of God because God is righteous. And we reflect His image in this world. And those who keep His commandments are His people. Why? What happens in salvation when Christ comes to dwell within you? God takes that law, amen, that was written on tablets of stone, and He writes it on the tablets of our heart. And all of a sudden now we become, you know, we have the fear of the Lord in us. We have a respect, amen, for His presence and for His authority in our lives. And now I know that, you know what, if I get out of line, whoo, the Holy Spirit's there just to kind of say, hey, get back in line, get back. What are you doing? Don't do it. How many times have we done that when we've regretted it? Amen. But if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, that's a good sign. It means that you're a son, you're a daughter, you have a possession of Christ. Amen. And we got to know that. But your life will bear the fruit of who you really are. You can know how many here. Okay. Confession is good for the soul. But you know, you were dating somebody one time and, you know, you knew they had a certain expectation, you know, of what they were looking for in a relationship. And maybe you felt, guys, don't lie, but you felt maybe I live a little bit below what her expectation is of me. So I'm going to lay it on thick. I'm going to work this, you know, and I'm going to present this image to her. That's just going to be, it's like I heard somebody say, you get the fish in the boat and then what do you do with the fish, you know, but you finally won that person and guess what? All of a sudden, they're starting to know who you are. That's not the person I used to date. Oh, my word. You can only fake it for so long. That's why I say take some time to get to know each other. Amen. Spend some time and be authentic. Let them know, hey, my socks go on the floor, okay? The toilet seat stays up. No. Don't recommend that, guys, right? Yeah. But we want to live real, authentic lives because people have done that. They put themselves in this prison of performance, even in a relationship, and eventually, you know, the cracks begin to show. So it's okay. It's like, if it's going to work, if it's of God, it will work. But don't fake it until you think you can make it because you don't. It doesn't work that way. So likewise in our relationship with the Lord. Come on. We've got to be authentic. We've got to be real with God. We got to get down and dirty with sometimes and honest about our situation. You know, a lot of times people are so afraid that somebody's going to judge them that they won't be honest about where they're really at in the Lord. Oh, how you doing today, brother? Oh, great, man. Praise the Lord. Inside he's saying, not so good. You know, we got to get over the opinions of men and amen, and believe what God says and listen to God. Care about what God says, what God thinks. Some people won't respond to an altar call because somebody's watching. This is some backslidden Christians. They've been backslidden for years. You know? They've been sleeping in the light for years. There's no fruit. They're disconnected. And then the challenge comes and the Spirit of God is tugging on their hearts. But they're more concerned about, well, what will Sister So-and-so think? What will Brother Joe think if I make that way down and say, I need to get my heart right with God? You know, I'm not saying that we do that, but I remember someone saying that in Billy Graham Crusades, they actually have people that walk to the front that are already right with God to help people who aren't. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a good idea, amen? I'm just saying that sometimes that's how people are. They're more concerned about what the crowd does than how they stand before God. I appreciate sometimes the babes in the Lord that have such a sincere and open and honest heart. And they're not putting on airs. They're not trying to impress anybody. It doesn't matter how long we've been walking with the Lord. There's times when we just need to get some things settled. I mean, we need to get some things straightened out in our lives. And we've got to have the humility of heart. Because God will give His grace to the humble, but He'll resist the proud. If a person's too proud that they can't say, hey, I need some help from God, guess what? They're not going to get help from God. And if you pretend to be what you're not, you'll never become what you should. If you pretend you're all that when you're not even close to that, come on, God is working all of us, isn't He? He's working in me. I need to keep a humble heart and a teachable spirit and say, Lord, do that work in me. I don't want to live for the appearance, amen. I don't want to put on a facade. I don't want to live a lie. You know, I don't want to smooze people like I'm in some relationship that I'm just trying to impress them, you know. And hopefully I'll win them because they just think I'm just impeccable. That's what I love about this fellowship. I think we have an authentic fellowship here. And you guys understand that it's okay, you know, if you're not okay. And that if you're understanding that you're not okay, then there's hope and you can come, amen. And you can kneel before God and don't care what anybody thinks. I want to make sure that I'm right with God. That's what's more important to me. Yes. Hallelujah. It's the same thing with people who we want people to think we're born again when you're not. I remember when I wasn't even born again and I get invited to a Bible study or something. I just try to act, I don't know what. How many have, beside myself, ever done that? You just had to act a certain way around those people? You know, those Christians? You know, those... Just not going to cuss like I used to do, you know, because they're... So you play this game. You fake it. And you know, people do the same thing. They come to church and they fake it. But God sees, God knows. And I don't want to stand before the Lord that day, you know, and be rejected because I was not honest. I didn't humble myself and allow God to save me. Right. You must be born again. I know that when the Lord came into my life that something was burning on the inside now. I was alive. When you're alive and you're healthy, you're hungry. You eat. You got a good appetite. I want the Word. Amen? I want Jesus. I want worship. I want fellowship. I want to be in prayer. I'm hungry because I'm alive. See, when you're not spiritually alive, you have no sense need of God. Quiet in here. It's true. When you drift away from God, you can get caught up eating all the other stuff the world has to offer you. And you can lose your appetite for that which truly satisfies. And now you're filling yourself up with junk food, and you've lost your appetite for that which truly satisfies. And God is calling us out of the world to take up our cross and follow Him, to walk in life, to enjoy fellowship with the Lord in the Spirit, life and peace. Hallelujah. I have a joyful life now. When I used to party in the world, man, I would out party the rest of them, you know. How much I could drink, how much I could toke, whatever, you know. And I thought I was having a good time till the next morning. Until Jesus came in. Amen. And I said, man, it don't touch Jesus at all. It's nothing like the Lord. There's nothing in this world that compares to Him. God wants you alive. God wants you healthy. God wants you strong. God wants you walking in your identity, in your authority. God wants you about His business, destroying the works of the devil, first of all in your own life and in the life of people around you. God wants His church alive. He wants His people revived in the Holy Spirit, strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might, the dunamis of God. But if we're self-sufficient, if we're satisfied in the things of this life, in this world, and we made this world our heaven, then that's your reward. You have a temporary satisfaction with long-term loss. Or you can have momentary pain for long-term gain. Momentary denial, amen, for that which is superior and eternal and lasts forever. I don't know about you, but I want what God has. I've tasted and I've seen that He is good. And I've tasted the world, and I'm telling you, and you know it, it ain't. Is that good vernacular? It ain't. It is. I tell people I create my own language here, you know, so it's all right. They say the English language is a living language. You just, it evolves with time, you know. I mean, even the kids today, they're talking like, huh? We need an interpretation for that tongue, you know? You get used to hearing it a certain way, you know, and it's always changing. But this is the covenant, Hebrews 10:16. This is it, guys, that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then He adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Out of the debtor's prison, free in Christ Jesus. Free to do what? Sit, soak, and sour? Free to serve. Free to live for Him. Amen? Abundance of life. Overflowing life. Superior quality and quantity of life. A true child of God does not practice sin. A tree is known by its fruit. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For His seed remains in Him, and He cannot sin because He has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. When it talks about does not sin, it's talking about constant or habitual behavior. Get that, right? We don't want to do those things anymore. My heart's changed. I got a new heart. I got the law of God written in my heart, and it's a new desire. Guys, I challenge you. Make sure of yourself. Make sure you're in Christ. Amen? And the people that you talk to, you're going to make sure that just because they tell you they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. We want to make sure, amen, people know what it is to be a true born-again believer. It's not about just changing some behavior. Turning over a new leaf. Making a new commitment. To do better. To try harder. You've heard it said before, but we can't try hard enough. To live right enough. To be good enough. It's not of me. It's not of my willpower or my strength or my ability. It's of Christ and Christ alone. And my confidence, my faith, my trust, my hope in Him, in drawing from the resources of His grace, it's by the power of God that I can live a life that is righteous, that is holy, that is pure, that is pleasing to God. It's because of the grace of God that works effective in my life that I don't enjoy sin anymore. People need to know. You must be born again. 1 John 3:14. Now listen. A true child of God loves the brethren. That means if you love your brethren, you want to be with people you love. You want to hang out with people you love. You want to join together with people you love. That means you'll be in fellowship. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Faith in God, not faith in my ability to be faithful. Faith in His ability. Faith in His faithfulness. Faith in His goodness. Faith in His righteousness. He makes me good. He makes me righteous. He makes me holy. The devil wants to put you in the center of salvation when Christ has to be the center and the foundation of your life. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You see that? And that's life and peace is when I am trusting in God. Otherwise, we just can feel good about ourselves when we're doing good. And as long as I'm doing good, then now I'm good. But as soon as I do bad, oh, now I'm bad. That's the prison of the law. The law could not save. The law simply revealed to us that we're lost and in need of mercy. And when you come to God for mercy and you receive the amazing grace of God, you cannot immediately go out and sin because you are so appreciative that God let you out of prison. Why would I ever want to go back into that place again? I want to live free. I want to live clean. I want to live according to the Word of God, His truth. Hallelujah. And when you love God, you love truth. When you love God, you love His Word. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Amen. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He's saying, I no longer trust in my own merits, my own goodness, my own righteousness. I don't dare trust myself anymore. As soon as I start trusting myself, I start flopping. Amen. I fall from the grace of God. Why? Because it's misdirected faith. My faith has to be in Him, in His faithfulness. Claiming the merits of His truth. Amen. Lord, thank You that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That You are my holiness. You are my righteousness now. You are my redemption. I am complete in You. You make me holy. I don't trust in me. When I am trusting in God, the grace of God is effective in my life to work out His holiness. When I am focused on Him and not on self, I have the grace to live holy. You'll find the things that you used to get trapped in no longer have any effect, no longer have power over you. Because you're trusting in God and not self. Is this making sense? Amen. A true child of God, amen, loves his brother. We know that we've passed from death to life, 1 John 3:14, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Don't be deceived. Amen. How many know he's not talking about a biological brother? I thought I'd throw that in there. I hate Bob over here, but my brother, well, I love him. If you're in Christ, then you are a new creation and you are an overcomer by virtue of Christ, who is the overcomer in you. So as you and I trust, put our confidence, our faith in Christ, who is the overcomer, I also enforce that victory. I live that victory. I've shared this so many times with you. Many are probably sick of hearing it, but for those who haven't, do you remember what God allowed Peter to do? He allowed Peter to fall, didn't he? He didn't try to stop him because Peter was full of himself. He was self-confident. And he knew that he would be of no service to the Lord as long as Peter was full of Peter. So he let Peter go on his merry way, thinking that Peter would never deny the Lord, that he would not be like everybody else. He was going to be above and beyond everybody else because he was puffed up in his pride and he didn't realize it. And so God allowed Peter to fail until he finally came to the place where he realized that I can't do it. He was crushed. He was broken. When he realized that he did the very thing that he said he wouldn't do. Why? Because Peter's confidence was not in Christ and his ability, but in his own ability to live for God. Think about that. It can't be in our ability, but in his ability for me. Hallelujah. That's why I pray. It's why I sing and make music to the Lord. It's why I open my mouth and declare the Word of God. Amen. And I'm not a silent listener. Amen. You need to open up and you need to speak out because there's life and death in your words. And if you align with the truth, with the Word of God, there's effective power in that Word. Amen. And when we sing and make music to the Lord, hallelujah, what we're doing is we're speaking of the attributes and who He is and how glorious and great and how mighty God is and how able He is to do exceedingly abundant above all we could ask or think. Amen. God is an amazing God with all power. He's not weak. Amen. We put our faith and our trust in God and in His ability, hallelujah, and get over ourselves. Amen. Get over the opinions of people. Man, I want to live for God. I don't care what's politically correct. Thank you. I want to know what's correct before God. And His Word is correct. And His Word is in my heart if I'm in Christ. And so I need to obey the Spirit of life in Christ to have life and peace. Hallelujah. Come on. Enjoying the journey. How many know that God is pleasurable? God is wonderful. He's awesome. He's the highest. He is joy, pure joy. So we overcome because the overcomer is in us. He says in verse 21, Galatians 2, 21, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If it's just a matter of me trying to do harder and better and improve, then the cross would have been unnecessary. But God knew that we couldn't save ourselves. So in mercy, God gave us His Son as an offering to pay our debt, to let us out of debtor's prison. So that when we receive the grace of God, our hearts would change. Our hearts would become in love with God and appreciate God and want to live for God the rest of our lives. Can you say an amen to that? Amen. And I don't want to do the things that grieve my Father because I love God in my heart. And I know when I grieve the Holy Spirit. How about you? I don't like it. So we need to examine ourselves, guys, whether we're in the faith or not. Are you the planting of the Lord today? Are you a good fruit? We might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Hallelujah. You see, you can't plant yourself. God has to plant you. You have to be born from above, born of the Spirit, It's not by human will, not by human effort, but by the ability that God supplies, that is His grace, that we are saved through our confidence, our assurance, amen, that God will keep His word and do what He said He would do. When I come to God and I ask God to forgive me, you know, I don't have to feel forgiven. I need to, in faith, say, Lord, thank You that Your word says, if I confess my sins, You are faithful and just to forgive me. Amen. And receive as a gift of grace forgiveness. Would you bow your heads this morning? Has God been speaking to you this morning? Has God pointed out some things as I've simply been speaking what the Lord has been giving me? But has the Spirit of the Lord been speaking to you about something this morning? Now is your opportunity. You see, the Lord will never convict you of something without also providing the grace for you to be free from it. God wants to be gracious to you, but you have to humble yourself and you have to admit to God that you're not all. And maybe even you may fool people, but you can't fool God. So be honest with the Lord today. If there's some things that you need to confess and renounce, maybe some sinful things that you're doing in your life that you've been grieving the Spirit of the Lord and you know He doesn't approve of it, you need to turn from that while you have opportunity, while God has given you an opportunity to receive forgiveness today. I want you to confess that to God right now. And by faith, say, thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. And Lord, I receive Your forgiveness today. Thank You, Jesus, for the cross and for the blood that You shed that purchased me. And now I belong to You. I want to ask you today to examine your heart and ask this question: is there anyone that I'm holding a grudge against? Anyone that I'm holding unforgiveness against today? Maybe you say, oh, it was so bad, I can't forgive them. Well, maybe in your own strength that is true. But by the grace of God, you can do all things. You can forgive those who have trespassed against you. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you yours. Let yourself out of that prison today, that debtor's prison, amen? And I want you to, as an act of faith, not out of feeling, good feelings will follow faith. Trust in the Lord and His ability to help you right now. And I want you to ask the Lord, if you're dealing with some unforgiveness, maybe some bitterness, some old wounds, somebody hurts you and you're having a difficult time letting them go, forgiving them, ask the Lord right now for grace. Lord, give me the grace. Help me, Jesus, to let this person go. I don't have the capacity in me, the ability in me, but I'm asking You, Lord, to give me the grace. And as I remember, Lord, You on that cross and that You paid that debt for me, God, help me to also release those who are indebted to me through transgression or abuse. God, even now, I ask You for help. And as an act of faith before the Lord, in obedience to what He asks you to do, not because you feel like it, but because it's right and you want to obey the Lord, I want you to speak that person's name. Just speak that person's name. And I want you to talk to them right now. If you can't get to them, just talk to them right now and say, I forgive you. I choose to forgive you. I choose to release you. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. The debt is paid. In Jesus' name, speak their name. I forgive you. I release you. You owe me nothing. Some of you may be dealing with several people that come to mind right now. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Just speak that name. Speak to them right now and say, I forgive you. In Jesus' name, I release you. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled. You are free to go. In Jesus' name. Let's let him go. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for accepting me, for receiving me. I trust you, Lord. I trust in your grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Take time. Don't be in a hurry. Just take time. Say, Lord, is there anybody else that I need to release right now? You got that picture. You got that face. Maybe sometimes you even get sensations in your body. Whatever it might be, a feeling sometimes. If that comes, just deal with it right now. Give it to God. And let that person go. Let them out of the prison. Because you're actually the prisoner as long as you hold them captive. God wants you free. God wants his people to walk free. No bitterness, no unforgiveness. Let them go. In Jesus' name, I choose to release you. You are released now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. I just sense a freedom, a liberation. You experiencing that today. Some of you are experiencing this right now. God's opening that prison. He's releasing you from those prison bars. Hallelujah.